Hey, fashionpreneurs, my name is Jess, and welcome to the Fashionpreneur Diaries. Hey, fashionpreneurs, my name is Jess, and welcome to the Fashionpreneur Diaries. Hey, fashionpreneurs, welcome back for entry 16 of the Fashionpreneur Diaries. I have a fan favorite back here with me today. We've been killing it this month with some amazing guests. So I want you guys to guess who's with me. We're going to give you one clue. We're going to sing one of our hit smashes. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm getting sick and tired of your broken promises. Looking at your pages, seeing different numbers and numbers. Hanging on the phone.
Okay.
I think they know who it is now.
You think they know?
Gina's back, guys. Ooh. Brittany Brown of Project Beauty.
Ooh, it feels weird when you say my name.
I know. I don't even know how to say your name. Brittany. Gina's back.
Okay.
Gina's here, aka Light Skizzle. Had to bring her back because you guys have requested it. We actually got over 6 emails saying how much they enjoyed you.
Stop.
I have receipts.
Wow.
And we had to bring you back. Mm. And a lot of people have been sending in marketing questions. So, y'all know we play all day, but today we're going to get a little serious. And today's entry is all about marketing, the cheat code to building a fashion and beauty brand. So, fashionpreneurs, a lot of you guys always come to me. And a lot of beautypreneurs come to me asking for assistance, and I'm like, you have come to the wrong department. Let me send you back to Project Beauty, management agency for marketing, because I don't know what to do over there, all right? I am not your girl for beauty, all right? So I send them back into the correct department, and I'm sure people come to you just asking about creative overall and fashion. So we wanted to kind of explain the differentiations between fashion and beauty businesses through a marketing standpoint, and what you guys need to consider before you decide which realm you're going into, because they are very similar, because of course a lot of them are targeted towards women. We both target Black women, but it's two different customers, just a little bit. So we wanted to explain that and help you guys better target your correct audiences when you're marketing for beauty versus fashion. Okay, so first thing I wanted to get into, you guys already know Gina, so we're not about to do the whole bio thing. I'll just tell you that Gina's been killing it. You guys know she has Project Beauty Expo, this amazing conference that's annual. They just moved from New York to LA. LA just wrapped a couple months ago, and it was absolutely phenomenal. And you guys know that Gina has her marketing agency where she markets different beauty brands. How would you describe your marketing agency? Because you don't just market. Like, I hear you on calls all day, What do you do?
Oh, wow. Okay. So it's called Project Beauty Agency, and it's a boutique marketing agency for indie beauty and wellness brands. And essentially what I do is I help specifically women of color find better ways to market their business on and offline to help grow their sales. I think that a lot of founders, when they start their businesses, they focus on all of the outward-facing things like the logo, the website, and all these things, and they're not focusing on like creating a sales strategy. So I basically help them do that.
Got you.
On and offline.
Got it. Okay. So that's what you do. Now, what I do, guys, because there's a big difference. What I do within the Fashionpreneur Academy, I assist emerging and aspiring fashion business owners with the launch and development of their fashion brands. That's the easiest way to explain it. So it's an online coaching curriculum that's meant to educate you and accelerate you from employee to full-time fashion business owner, aka fashionpreneur, as we like to call it. So that's what I do. I don't do the marketing or complete the marketing. However, what I do is I develop the brands and assist them in developing so they are marketable. Now, I also have a company called the Fashionpreneur Agency where I have assisted with marketing a lot of brands, but it's still emerging. Like, I don't really offer the service fully yet to the public. I'm still figuring out a lot of things myself and learning the ropes around marketing. But you guys know that Gina here used to do the marketing, and she's the person that was here to propel Irregular Exposure earlier this year. So her marketing agency I actually went to her a couple weeks ago and was like, so you really not going to do fashion brands? So, you know, she's that great at marketing. So, Gina, can you share with them that one day, about a month or so ago, when we were sitting on the couch at our house, and I said, I was looking for models. I feel like it's time for us to accelerate a regular exposure. And you gave me the marketing campaign of a lifetime. Can you explain how that scenario went?
Yeah, so we were doing our thing, sitting on the couch, being silly, working late at night per usual. And, you know, you came to me and you were saying that, you know, you were trying to find that next collab, mm-hmm. trying to find that next person that you wanted to collab with. And, you know, y'all know I've been, you know, a fan of a regular exposure since inception, and I know all about the brand. So, you know, just even from working here a few months ago, like, I realized that your customers were your brand ambassadors. It just kind of came to me. I don't know how, it just kind of came in my head. Like, mm-hmm. your customers are your brand ambassadors. And if you look at the landscape of the fashion industry and the way other fashion brands market, you have to look at, like, okay, how can I make my brand different and stand out and not mm-hmm. ride the wave that will soon dwindle down, I feel like, mm-hmm. With just attaching, you know, your brand to just models. Mm-hmm. You just see everybody works with, like, models and, you know, and just from everyone that wears a regular exposure, I just feel like they've become your irregular girls. And it just kind of came naturally to me that I think what people don't do is they don't turn their customers into their brand ambassadors, because I think that's the cheapest form of marketing that you can do. If you give your customers a great experience, if you have a great product, they're going to naturally talk about your product. So you don't have to pay X amount of dollars to some huge influencer or to some model when you can just, you know, give your, you know, customers and just activate them and turn them into your brand ambassadors.
Yeah.
So it just kind of came to me, and, you know, I know we talked about that.
Well, yeah. So she's being humble. Here we go. So yeah, we're sitting on the couch chilling. We are always masterminding, drinking our wine, relaxing. And I'm like, I think it's time for me to get models. I'm telling her about all these different models on social media I'm considering. I'm like, yeah, I don't think I should be the model anymore. I have come to terms with the fact that I'm not the irregular girl. So I've been fired as the model. But I still try from time to time. But they don't let me back in. But it's cool. I stay in my department. But I was like, yeah, I think, like, people, I realized that my customers prefer when I post and when we post on the page, all of our customers. Like, our customers get the highest engagement. Not the influencer, not the model, not the girl that's a celebrity. No, our everyday girl gets the most engagement. Like, we have posted some of the biggest actresses, like, but when we post just like our girls that get dressed, it goes crazy. Like, the other day we posted two best friends in our set. Our Kiwi set went crazy. And I remember telling you that, and you were like, no, that's what makes irregular exposure different. Like, you post moms that are, like, pregnant, that are, like, 9 months carrying. Like, nobody does that. All these brands, when you go on their pages, you can't even find the customers. All you see are the models. Right. Nothing shouting out the customers. And you were like, I think you need to focus on your customers. Like, focus on the customer experience like you've been doing. And one thing about irregular exposure, like Britt just said, y'all, is that we really focus on building the customer experience because people tell people about it. And I was at Project Beauty, Gina's event, and I met this curvy girl. She came up to me, and I think I went up to her. I was like, you are so gorgeous. Like, I always scout beauty. Like, mm-hmm. So I was like, oh my God, you're so gorgeous. She was like, girl, thank you. What do you do? I was like, oh, I'm Gina's best friend. She was like, oh, really? I'm doing PR here. I was like, oh, okay. And she was like, what do you do? I'm like, yeah, I have a clothing line. It's called Irregular Exposure. And she was like, girl, I have like 2 or 3 pieces from your store. I love your store. Your store personally called me to thank me. Like, I have your store written down. I tell people about your store. So I've learned, instead of investing so much money into promotion, I invest in having somebody just to personally call our customers, because mm-hmm. people tell people about that, and they even call back and leave a voicemail even if we don't answer, and they'll say, like, I've never had a store do that. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Like, we're not scared to get feedback because we know our product is great. So, like, if someone says, oh, it didn't fit right, or, you know, I didn't love this set, I didn't get to wear it, or, yes, I wore it to this wedding, I loved it, and we always get great feedback. Of course, there's going to be one in the rough that, you know, might come out, and we're like, oh, well, that's better assist you. So we'll offer a discount code. We don't just leave them high and dry, like, oh, we're sorry you didn't love it. No, we're going to see what we can do to assist. So I think taking that initiative has like really caused word of mouth to grow. So we've invested time into having a dedicated team member for that. And after that, this year, like Gina saw this happening and she was like, yeah, like y'all need to focus in on your customer. Mm-hmm. I literally started crying. You remember I was literally crying. I cried every time.
I ain't know you want.
Yeah, I was crying. Per usual. Like, y'all, when it's a God-given idea, I just start crying. I was like, I was so happy that God used her to deliver a message to me. Like, I was like, oh my God. So I'm in tears. I'm like, I know, I get it now. We're going to give back to an irregular girl because we give a commission to our influencers and collaborators. So I'm like, we're going to give to a regular irregular girl. That's mm-hmm. the whole point. All of us are irregular. All of us have influence. So we didn't care about your following. We didn't care about your engagement. We just wanted to pick a customer that fit the concept of the collection. And Gina here helped me come up with this previous collection. Like, she did a whole like mood board and I sketched around some of the vision. So this collection has a lot to do with the marketing agency. Did you realize that?
I realize it now.
Yeah. So, anywho, I was like, yeah, we're going to give back 10% to a girl. Like, we're going to sow a seed to somebody through this collection. Like, literally make them see their collaborator. So, we were getting a few submissions. Like, we put up one post, and it was like a black screen that said, what's your order number? And everybody was confused, but they were leaving their order numbers. We put it on Instagram, and then a few days later, we dropped a video with our staff explaining how you can enter to be the irregular girl. And people were entering, but we didn't feel like we found the right girl that fit this particular collection. So we kept looking, kept looking, kept looking. Finally, there was one girl in particular that I remember. I had showed you her page. Her name is Makia. I showed you her page in previous months. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this girl is so fly. Like, this is our vibe. She was like, oh my God, her style is like amazing. And she reached out, and she didn't live in LA. She lives in Philly. She goes to school in Philly. And I remember she messaged me and says, this only closed out to LA. And I'm like, wait, this is the irregular girl. Like, I remember we both said her style was memorable. She was the perfect girl to start this off and set the bar. Mm-hmm. We want you to be stylish. Like, we want this to be for somebody that really loves creativity. So that's what we wanted to give it to. And she's a basketball player, well, ex-basketball player. She's amazing. But she said that basketball caused a lot of depression, a lot of like confusion for her. She's happy to not be playing right now. And I loved her story. So I messaged her and told her, if you can get here by Friday, it was probably like Saturday. And I told her, if she can get here by the following Friday, it's hers. That girl booked a flight. We shot all day long. Ken will tell you, he's shooting this video right now. I was knocked out the day after that. Like, we shot all day. We got makeup done. It was just a beautiful day. And we shot and told her story and translated everything she loved to do. And our creative director and brand manager, La, she was amazing at what she did. And she organized a great shoot. And then now we're giving back 10% of every order. And every time I tell people that, they're like, what? Wow. Like, brands, other brand owners can't believe we're doing that. They're like, wow. When I told Shay, she was like, wow. Like, y'all, like, we didn't just give you, like, the opportunity to be a model. No, like, you're getting paid off this. Like, she has the link in her bio. Like, that's bigger than a collaborator. Right. And we made sure that we had a clear contract. Like, we had a lawyer, you know, really draft a contract where it has to be like in your highlights. You have to post every week. You have to create new content. And she's a style maven. So check out Makia Jones 4 on Instagram. Like, love this girl. And like, we told her story through all these videos. Like, the campaign is going great. And as soon as she launched, like, it surpassed what I expected, like my expectations. So that goes to show you what marketing can do if you stick to what it is that you do. And we did something irregular. Nobody's doing what we're doing.
Right.
Nobody. And now we found our next niche to the point where, like, now people are coming to us like, hey, I want to be the next irregular girl. Or how can I do that? So we're updating our website and we're going to have an application section for people to apply every single week. So we got a graphic designer now. She's doing the website and they have to apply. So you've created that, buddy.
Wow.
Yeah. So you still not taking fashion clients?
Well, beauty is my passion. That's what I'm like the most passionate about. Yeah. So that's why I try to stick to that lane, because beauty and fashion is still very, very different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that the idea was amazing, but like, the customer is still so different. You know what I mean? It's still so much I feel like I would have to learn with regards to fashion.
Well, because we're best friends too, you've watched my brand growth since I was 14. Like, we met at 14 years old. You met me when I started this, like, the very beginning. So you've watched it, and you, it's like you can look at, you're probably the only person, like we said yesterday in the Uber. Oh my gosh, sidebar. We went to see the Harriet Tubman movie. Insane, have to see it. So we saw the Harriet Tubman movie, and then after the movie, all of us was out, and I was like, I'm not hungry, but we gotta go do something. Let's go find something to do. And Gina just looked at me with a side eye, like, nobody knows me in this world better than Gina. Nobody, okay? So we get in the Uber 5 minutes later, and I was like, yo, we're going to get some food. And everybody in the car is like, you just said you're not hungry. And Gina was like, why would y'all listen to her? I knew we had to go somewhere with a menu. And I said, you're the only, and she said, am I the only human that gets you? I said, yes, yes. You are the only human that knows me. You know, oh, I'm still goodness. Hungry when I say I'm not.
Right.
So, yeah, I think because you know me so well, it's a little different.
Yeah. It was easier to come up with that, but great idea. I mean,
look at what the ROI has been on the idea that you've come up with from your marketing agency.
I mean,
pretty amazing. So what type of beauty brands do you like to focus on when it comes to marketing though?
So I like to focus on brands that are definitely in startup phase, but at least have, you know, got the brand going. Like they've already incorporated the business. Mm-hmm. They already have the website. They pretty much already have some sort of product line already started. Maybe they have one product, but they're looking to launch other product extensions. Mm-hmm. That's who I like to focus on. Beauty is encompassing of like hair, skincare, makeup, product tools. I don't see a lot of people coming out with product tools. So that's usually what gets me really excited. Like if you have like, you know, I know somebody has like something called something to pull out braids. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really, really innovative. I know someone who launched a product that helps combat hyperpigmentation, which is like an actual device that kind of heats up and pulsates on the skin. It's just those type of things get me really excited. So those are the brands that I would say I like to focus on specifically, is like definitely ones that are in startup phase, but at least have things going.
Yeah. So for people that, of course, everybody listening in here is a fashionpreneur, but I always talk to people that tell me, oh, like, I actually had a call with somebody that said, like, oh, I have clothing on my website, but I also sell lashes. And I have hair on my website. And I remember one time, this is a long time ago, y'all, but I had a hairline called Indian Exposure for all of, like, 6 months. And it was selling. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember
I
that.
Bundles.
I know. I wish I still had them.
The bundles was
They was hit. Good. I really wish I still had them. I don't know where they at.
Still got my wigs. I still got my wigs. Now. I mean, I don't wear them anymore, but I have them in case I gotta, you know, go back.
So
I found that I needed to stop because it was losing my ideal customer, and it was a completely different business. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about people putting like, I guess like making brands coexist, like they're trying to turn them into lifestyle brands, but they're not really. Like, how would you market if you had like lashes and clothing?
I wouldn't do both. I think that when people have both on their website or selling both, it comes across that they're not focused.
Yep.
Because yes, women, we wear hair, we get our hair done, we do our makeup, we wear lashes, but those women, they're two different customers. Yeah. Like, I care about skin a lot. I care about makeup. I care about, like, just overall, like, that type of beauty. Mm-hmm. But I might not be into, like, the latest fashion.
Yeah.
So, and that also, you know, goes into, like, how you target your customer. Like, you can't just target women. Like, even when I do discovery calls with people, I'm like, who is your target customer? Mm-hmm. If you just say women between age, I don't know, 21 to 55, you can't target all of those people.
You can't.
Like, it's no way. And I always like to tell people, think about this. Do you speak to your grandmother the same way you speak to your cousin?
Smart way.
Do you speak to your aunt the same way you speak to, like, maybe, like, I don't know, like your friend? Mm-hmm. You don't speak to them the same way. So if you don't speak to them the same way in conversation, how could you speak to them the same way in marketing?
That was a great key, brother. You're really good at what you do, man. High five. Woo! Love that.
Okay. So, that's basically like why I think they appear to be unfocused. You don't even speak to them the same way in conversation. So how could you speak to them the same way in marketing? I don't think it's possible.
Major key. Dang, thanks. Cherokee.
Thanks.
Yeah. Put this on your Instagram because you don't post anything.
Okay.
And then the other thing with Jeannie, she don't post nothing, but yet she's this marketing maven. That's what's crazy. Like, she just keeps these ideas bottled up. So, like, I always tell my clients, like, every time I talk to somebody that says, I'm doing this on the side to do this, if you treat it as a side hustle, it will be that. And if you market a side hustle, people will go to that. They'll treat you like a local or small scale brand.
Right.
So if you want to elevate and be a six-figure, seven-figure earner, what are, like, some things that people can start doing now to set themselves apart in any industry? Like, what are, like, three things you feel like they could do, like, right now to set themselves apart?
With regards to marketing?
Yeah.
I think that it kind of depends, you know what I mean? Depending upon like what their marketing and their business. I think that people don't do enough like research.
Yes.
I think that people need to, so I would say that could be one thing to set themselves apart. I think that if you are in the beauty industry and let's say you have a skin product, you need to be paying attention to like what is the next innovation in beauty and what's happening in beauty. I mean, augmented reality is becoming a real thing. I mean, it's going to change the way people buy products. So like if you're talking about, oh, I want to have a brick and mortar store, like are you doing research to see if that's even going to be around in the next 10 years?
Right.
So I would like to see a lot more research. I also think that people need, aside from just doing research with regards to the future, I think people need to look at the feedback, just how you mentioned, like people don't like to receive feedback. When you're in the beauty industry, feedback, I feel like, is very important.
Even in fashion, like people buy outfits and they hate them. Like people always talk about how they feel like stuff made in China is so cheap, but most of your favorite high-end brands are made in China.
Yeah.
Like a lot of everything comes from China.
Yeah.
And people have access to that now. I went to China. Like people can just get a flight to China now for like $1,500. So it's not that hard to get your hands on product, but you have to be able to call people and change that narrative too. Like we have to call people and ask, like, did you enjoy it? So if people tell us, no, I didn't, we have to be willing to hear them out and say, well, what happened? But we also have to pay attention to majority and pay attention to numbers. Like we will call 100 people. And if 89% said this was a great dress, that's great. But if, you know, 10% that said that they didn't like the fabric, we still need to consider that 10%. That's a huge percentage.
Yeah.
You know, that hasn't happened, thank God.
Yeah.
But like, people need to be willing to shift and listen to their customer. And I think that if you don't get feedback, and that's why, like, even on a lot of websites, you'll see reviews. That's the first thing me and you read.
Yeah.
What's the reviews? Like, yeah. I want to know what other people are saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Reviews are very important. I think, especially in beauty, it can determine whether or not maybe you need to change an ingredient.
Yeah.
you know, in your product. So feedback, like I said, is very, very important. I guess a third thing would be having a clear brand voice and making sure your story is told on everything. I think that, you know, that's something that I had to even learn back from when I had my skincare line a few years ago and now me doing Project Beauty Expo and Project Beauty Agency, the marketing agency, is understanding that your brand story is really what's that secret sauce and what's going to make you different than everything else out on the market, because you never know who's going to resonate with that story. So, you know, back in the day, you just saw brands on the shelves, you saw brands online, you were like, oh, I'm gonna just buy the product, like it's cool, like obviously it's a good product, I trust this. But like now with indie brands booming and small businesses booming, it's important, people relate to stories, people buy from you because of your story. So your story should be everywhere. It should be on your social media, it should be on your website. Oh my goodness, my biggest pet peeve is going on somebody's website and I don't see an about section.
Oh,
where is the
gosh.
Founder? What is your story? Where did this website come? Did it come from thin air? And it's very important because a few years ago, there was actually a hair care brand. I don't remember the name of the hair care brand, but they were under fire because they wrote a fake story saying it was started by a black woman. It was actually founded by a white man.
Wow. Yeah. So when you lie about your story, it's going to resonate.
When you lie about your story as well. So, but I think that that's also what makes you different is your story.
But I think one thing that I've really learned with growing, you know, as a fashionpreneur myself in all of my fashion businesses, dude, I used to always think, oh, I can do this part later. No, pay attention to detail when telling your brand story.
Yes.
So like when we did this collaboration, I wanted to pay attention to every detail. Like, we're working on like PR boxes from IKEA where they'll have you know, shapes like basketballs, and she can send them to her friends to open. Because mm-hmm. remember, everybody's an influencer. So it has to be told in every level. Like, we have to give her product to influential friends that she has. Every person has influence. So that's the story we're telling. So we have to make sure that the website is being updated right now. Like, mm-hmm. to make sure that the whole homepage is all about that irregular girl and our mission behind being an irregular girl. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about. So I think that's imperative to share. I think people don't pay enough attention to detail, and then you'll confuse who you're talking to. So if we have this collaboration on this page to Makia, and then you come to our website and you see a bunch of influencers that have, like, you know, these 1,000,001 followers and these done up bodies, it has nothing to do with the natural essence of who we're looking to work with. Like, it would be an oxymoron. So it's important that we are branding and rebranding to reach the everyday woman and show her that she has irregularities. Like, so every detail matters. Our thank you cards are handwritten. They look like a bag of chips, and it has like a line where we put our customer's name and we say, this is for Jane, because you're all that in a bag of chips. And then we write a handwritten thank you card that says we value you. Like, it's so imperative that you pay attention to the customer. And I think it's crazy how these high-end brands, they pay no mind to their consumer. Like, we both have high-end product. We've never gotten a call. I've never gotten, like, anything extraordinary. I might get a thank you card, or I might get a random birthday card. Cool. But I don't get just a call, like, how did you enjoy it? Where did you wear it to? Mm-hmm. Did you love it? Mm-hmm. You know, so I think, like, add as much value through the brand story and tell the story through how you treat your customer. If you have this amazing story, but you treat your customers like trash, well, it will spread like wildfire. People have no problem talking about how bad you made them feel, and they don't forget it.
Not at all.
So that is important. Okay, so one thing that we have in common that we continue to talk about is, like, influencers, and we both have done a lot of research on influencers. What are your takes on influencers in the fashion industry, or just overall? Because you used to manage our influencers, and you were sick and tired of being sick and tired. Yeah. So, like, a lot of my clients and a lot of fashionpreneurs always come to me, and they're like, you know, should I give product to this person? This stylist asked me for product. I was on the phone with Sasha, Jamaican Sasha, on my Instagram the other day. Mm-hmm. And she was calling me venting about, like, you know, just influence and style, and people always ask for product. What is your take on influence?
On influencers? I have, like, a love-hate relationship with it. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to be one of those people that are ignorant to what's happening. Like, obviously, influencers can be a huge driver into the success of your business. So I'm not going to, like, say blind, like, oh, you don't need them. Like, I think you need them to a certain extent. Yeah. Like, I don't think that should be your overall plan. Like, if someone says, like, hey, what's your marketing plan? I'm like, oh, I'm going to give it to these influencers. That shouldn't be it.
Yeah.
Because there's no longevity in that business, because you're gonna run out of money.
Right. Because they're not cheap at all.
They're not cheap at all. Like, it costs money. It costs a lot of money. And it's an industry, and it's a game not built for small indie brands. It's just not built for small brands. I mean, you see these press trips, and they go on to Morocco, and they get to go to all these places. Like, we can't afford to go there. Like, you know what I mean? So what I have to offer probably isn't appeasing to you.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just not built for small indie brands. But so I'm not going to say, like, oh, like, forget influencers. Like, you know, like, you don't need them. I think it's just more so about finding, like, that right genuine connection. I would like people to focus more so on micro influencers, which are people who usually have, like, I think, like, between, like, less than 100K followers. Mm-hmm. And when I was working, you know, with a regular exposure, managing your influencers, some of the things that I look for was, like, you know, their engagement. And engagement isn't always encompassing of, like, the actual percentage, but also, like, the number of comments. And if they're writing people back,
right,
like, are you posting, you know, and you have, you know, 2,000 comments, but you didn't write anybody back?
Yep.
You ain't write nobody back. So if somebody has a question about my product that I gave you, you're not even going to answer it.
Yep. That's one thing we make our duties is to respond to every comment possible. Like, and sometimes we can't keep up, but we'll at least like a comment, we'll engage. When our customers post us, we comment under it. Like, engaging is so important, and you will become the influence. I think, like, I'm just over influencers, honestly.
Yeah.
I think I'm not me personally, I don't feel comfortable paying you to wear the product anymore because of how oversaturated it is.
Yeah.
And also these influencers now have these terms where, oh, I'll post it. I told you about one influencer. Oh, yeah. We'll post it for $4,000 a post and it's only staying up for 7 days. Like, what?
Nah.
But you post Gucci and tag them.
Right.
For free.
Right.
I can't get with it. So, like, I am very meticulous about how I go about it now. And, like, we'll give product for free, but I have not paid someone to wear the product. Because you wear stuff every day. And if they really like it, like, it's to the point where they come to us and they tell us, like, oh, I love this. I wish I could have this. Cool. Well, go to the link in the bio. You can grab it. And if we do feel like you're a better fit, you know, for influence, then we'll give it to you. But right now, again, we've been focusing on the everyday girl. So we've been going back through our Rolodex of customers that we've posted on our page and looking at who's got the best insights. And we're actually DMing them, asking them, do they want to promote the outfit? Mm-hmm. If you got 8,000 likes, you're doing better than our influencers.
Yep.
So we go to them. And we're like, hey, girl, that just lives in Cincinnati and works that amazing 9-to-5 and you're doing it and you're a mom and you're killing it and you're a wife. Can you just rock this outfit the same way you gave that energy 2 months ago mm-hmm. for free?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, my gosh. Like, yes. And they're realizing their value. And I feel like businesses are being created and they're now being promoted through influence. Like, yeah. I think that's important, is to build organic relationships with a lot of people as well. So you never have to pay for this stuff, because it's that's the way of the world. And people always say, oh, well, you know, you got it easier, or these people may have it easier because of these relationships. No, I started from the bottom, just like you. Mm-hmm. Get out here and network.
Yeah, network, network, network. I mean, the influencer game is an ugly game. You can play it, just don't play it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And when I work with my clients, like, influence, that's the last thing on the list.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a maybe. Like, we may need it, we may not. I never make it like, oh, yeah, that's the first thing we want to do. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, like, always the last thing that I recommend if we have to, mm-hmm. depending upon where your sales are and what your goal is. So, yeah, I mean, influencers, like, it's not needed. I would say just focus on making your brand popping enough to where they come to you.
Yep.
That's it.
Now, I got another question for you. Mm-hmm. Now, we both learn ad marketing. We both run ads. Mm-hmm. I remember I was running ads before, and I spent like $300 in a day. And I made no money. I did not know what I was doing way before I knew what I was doing with ads. With your clients that have been running ads, I know you told me about a few clients that ran ads and, you know, wasted money. What have you noticed that they have not been doing right? Just one thing. But, like, has it been their audience that's off, or are they spending too much money? Content.
So, okay. I think that it's the content. Yep. For one, video content performs better on ads.
Yep.
That's just a fact.
Yep.
100% fact. But I think that people try to, and I've been a victim of this too. Like, when you create content, you try to make it like super picture perfect. Like, mm-hmm. you try to make it like, okay, how would this look on like a commercial? You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to make like a mini commercial and make it to like what you see on TV and just make it really, really perfect. But it's like, that doesn't really like, that's why you're having a clear brand story is important, mm-hmm. and understanding your customer is important, because like, you know how you want to talk to them and you know what they want to see. I feel like when you really, and I feel like you're really good at this too, you understand exactly what your customer wants to see. Mm-hmm. You tell me, you be like, my customers don't want to see that.
Oh, I'm always like, this picture. My regular girls would die if I posted this.
They would be like, uh-uh.
They'd be like, nope.
Because you understand your customer mm-hmm. to the T. Yeah. Like, to the T, where you could probably spot her out in the crowd. Mm-hmm. So I would say the content. Some people just, I mean, the content is what's going to help the message resonate. So that way when they see the ad, they're going to click the ad and they're going to hit buy. Because they want to be a part of whatever community you created.
And not all content is meant to have an ad ran on it. Like, you don't have to run an ad on, you know, on Instagram or on Facebook. Like, a lot of promotional ads that I do for, like, Facebook ads or Instagram ads, they're not on my timeline. They're not on my feed. Like, mm-hmm. I've ran it just for the ad. I don't want to have that on my actual feed. And you don't have to if you know how to run ads. Like, you can have completely different content for your ads versus what's on your page. Mm-hmm. And also, at least for regular exposure, my clothing line, like, when we do these promotional videos, like we did with Makia, like we always do these videos that are just amazing for our video drops. Like, whenever we do a collection drop, we do these content videos. We've never ran an ad on those videos.
Right.
They would not get viewed because it looks like a commercial.
Yeah.
It's already sponsored. And I don't know if you guys know, but people can choose. You can click and choose not to see these ads anymore.
Yeah.
If that happens too much, you will get banned from running ads. Mm-hmm. So we need to come off not too commercial, because we will get banned. We need to come off organic. So we send ads with the everyday pictures, and we make sure we update those ads nonstop, because if they're seeing the same ads, they'll report it like, I don't want to see this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can't run ads.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, I think that's very important. I mean, I have a client now. She has a hair extension company, and I was analyzing some of her ads, and the one that performed the best was just her in her room doing her hair.
Mm-hmm.
The ads that were like, but the influencer didn't even do as good as the one in her video. I'm like, girl, you need to do more videos. And she's very, very shy. But I'm like, well,
that's what they want.
You want to hit this goal, right? So we got to get this going. So you just have to get, you know, you'll have to get a little bit out of your comfort zone, because maybe your best performing ad is a video of you instead of trying to work with the influencer or getting a model or getting your homegirl, whoever. Maybe it is you.
And also, when you guys are, you know, advertising, you need to fit into the current timeline and the feed. So if you're putting up a bunch of professional content, it doesn't fit into the feed of iPhone images and Snapchat videos on your timeline. Like, don't overthink how simplistic it can be, but also listen to your customers. Like, you have to check numbers. Like, you know, I'm a fan of it. I stay with spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I have a report for everything. I have numbers outlined. Like, okay, this ad did this. This ad performed this way. And I check my ads every single day. Like, there's not a day that doesn't go by. I check my ads. Like, every day. So like, I have to pay attention to performance, because that will help me understand. So when people say, I don't know how to find my target customer, put out and project who your customer is based off who you want to reach. And then when they start, you know, repositioning and growing, listen to them and grow with them. Don't keep trying to go against the grain. So if 50,000 people want your pink dress, but you want to do an all black collection, well, you need to start a different brand that's all black, because the girls over here that want pink, you need to keep giving them every shade of pink.
Mm-hmm.
So listen to them. And if you ever feel like you're unfulfilled, you might have another business. Or also, your customers will grow with you. Like, we had to grow our customers into spending more money. We had to grow them into working with more like minimal styles. Like, we had to grow them to where we wanted them to be. And now they know what to come to a regular exposure for, because we know them now.
Mm-hmm.
But if we didn't know them, we would still be purchasing wholesale a bunch of sequins and satins that they don't want. And that may work. Like, I know brands, like one of my friends has a brand that only devotes to black and white product, and she sells out all the time.
Yeah.
So
when
you know, you know.
When you know your brand and you know your customer, you're going to be successful. Like, you are. And I think people also don't realize, like, statistics show that it costs 5 times more money to market to a new customer than to get your current customers to spend more money with you.
Mm.
So instead of trying to go out and be like, oh, let me do this pop-up event, let me do this, let me do all this stuff, that's costing you money to get maybe some people who may be interested, who may not purchase from you again. But maybe you got 10 customers who are loyal and been purchasing from you. Let's figure out how to get them from spending $150 with you per month to $500 a month.
Yep.
That's still growing your sales, right?
Yep.
So the focus needs to change a little bit, and everything else will come naturally. Like, you could have 10 key customers and make them and activate them and become your brand ambassador, similar to what you did with the program. I mean, with the a regular girl.
Mm-hmm.
And now people are spending way more money with you now,
because they know that they're entering in. You have to be a customer to enter to even be in a regular girl.
Exactly.
Then you can apply online. You can upload images. Mm-hmm. So you have to apply now. We're not just posting anybody anymore. Like, it's an application process for you to spend more money. And then we make sure we call you, we text you, we email you. It is so much more valuable to keep our customer than it is to spend $40 a day on an ad to get a new customer.
Exactly.
Like, it is so much more valuable. So keep your customers coming back. Like, I've been shopping at Walmart since I was a kid. I've been shopping at Target my whole life. Like, I can't imagine how much money I spent in either store. Like, keep them coming back. Like, keep them coming back. So how can people work with you? Because I know this is, now they're about to be like, okay, the marketing goat is here. So how can people work with you and learn more about your marketing services?
Yeah, well, I have a link in my bio. It is PB Agency. That's the link. You can book a discovery call with me.
Mm-hmm.
Fill out the questionnaire, give me a little bit more insight into your brand. And then I have options to work with people for like 6 months.
Gotcha.
So click the link in my bio. My Instagram is @MoneeCause, MoneeCause. to book a discovery call with me so we could talk about marketing for your beauty and wellness brand.
Yeah, and she only does beauty and wellness still.
Sorry.
But if you're interested in learning how to market yourself, so what I do is a little different. I teach you how to do what Britt does. Mm-hmm. So if you guys are looking to do that, you already know the Fashionpreneur Academy is here for you. So just check out our masterclass and we'll get started and talk about sales funneling and marketing as a fashionpreneur. But yeah, overall, what I want you guys to take away is focus on one thing first. And yeah. I know it's 2019. We have access to so much. Like, we can literally go to China and get every plug. You can sell hair, lashes, and outfits all on one site. It's not going to work. Like, no. It's very rare. It's some very, very great exceptions to the rules out there. But it is very rare that that will be that narrative for you. So focus on that one thing. And we always talk about focusing on like that one niche product or that one niche market. Focus on one thing and you'll be servicing an entire community. So just build your community.
Literally.
Build it.
Yes.
All right. Anything else you wanted to hit on, Gina? I think you gave a lot of gems.
I feel like I did, you know.
I got some homework to do.
Ooh. Okay.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, thank you for tuning in for another episode of the Fashionpreneur Diaries with me and good old Gina here.
Yes.
All right. It was a pleasure. I hope you guys learned a lot about marketing today and you are working to grow your fashion business as well as beautypreneurs out there. I hope you guys are listening in too. So, yeah, enjoy and we will talk to you all soon.
Bye-bye.